Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Hello, everyone. Welcome. I'm Maria T. Finch. I'm an intuitive strategy guide, and I am thrilled to have Brooke Dukes here. Brooke Dukes here with me today. Welcome, Brooke.
Hi, Maria. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, totally my pleasure. So to start with, tell us a bit about you.
Well, I work exclusively with executive women, entrepreneurs, C-suites, and also small and mid-sized businesses.
Okay, great. So I know that in your life, you had a particularly profound experience that influenced where you are now. Tell us a bit about that.
So about, oh gosh, it's been over 20 years now. I'm aging myself.
It's okay.
I had worked in two Fortune 100 companies, a Fortune 500 company. I was on my last corporate job, and I found myself on a corporate jet in preterm labor with my second child.
Oh my gosh.
And I recognized at that point, I was 8 months pregnant, and my boss at the time had said, if you don't go, we're going to Nova Scotia, then you will lose the bonus on a deal that I'd worked a year and a half on, and it was a six-figure bonus.
What a jerk.
Exactly. And I had to take responsibility for that because I risked my child's life for money. So, you know, after maternity leave and really some soul searching and looking at what did I value in life? Because my actions were in direct contradiction to what I told myself I valued. And I really had to make some big changes. And that was the start of my journey.
Okay. And so when you got to that point, what was your mind telling you? Like, did you have a lot of mind cluck? Was your mind putting you down and kind of holding you back? Or how did you break through that?
There was so much guilt and just, it was such a hard place to be. I really felt, it's like I woke up from out of a fog almost. I just could see my life so clearly, like I hadn't in years. Wow. And I looked at, you know, I have to change my mindset because the way I was living was the most important thing to me was work. That wasn't what I valued, but that's what my actions were showing. Because I was looking at it as, like, we're all told so much, especially in my generation, work hard, sacrifice now for that pot of gold at the end, right? And really had to shift my mindset to recognize that, no, I have to enjoy the journey now. Because it, you know, success does not create happiness. Happiness creates success. And that was a complete shift for me. But you're right, I had to get rid of that negative self-talk, that critic that was just looking at every single decision I had made prior to that and really just, I was my worst enemy. I was the one that was telling me what a bad person I was. I was a bad mother. I was a bad wife. I mean, all of that.
And so what enabled you to silence that critic?
It was really, I threw myself in, well, because I was then in labor and had maternity leave and all of that, I had the space and the time to really start looking at what was it that I needed to do. And what I found was I didn't have anyone to talk to. I had surpassed my circle's level of success. Any female leaders or coworkers that I'd had in the past were ambivalent towards me at best. Most were competitive with me, which, you know, I understand, right? So few spots at the top for women. We feel like we have to compete with other women to get that spot. and we viewed in a more favorable light if we do that to our male colleagues and leaders. So, I mean, I understood where they were coming from, but I also knew, and as I was sitting there thinking, you know, what do I really love anymore? I had silenced my intuition for so long. I didn't even know what I liked. Right. And so, and then, all right, great. What do I like? Look at all of my years of experience. How do I package what I love to do, the years of experience, into something that one, the world needs and that they'll pay for? Mm-hmm. And I really, for then the next few years, I really looked at how do I find people in my circle that can support me, and to your point, in finding that mindset, because I also knew that it was all about mindset. It always is. First stop. First is, you know, beliefs. It's mindset. What do I believe about myself? What do I believe about what I want to do? You know, I knew that if I didn't believe in it, that no matter the best strategy, the best action plan, I was going to fail. So I had to look at what I believe. I had to align with my values, my behaviors, the plan, what did I plan on doing, and really look at all of that.
And how did you, so I think that in everything that we do, it's our beliefs about ourselves that can hold us back, or that can put us in a position like being on a plane while you're in labor. So, you know, so like, for example, I mean, maybe you believed like, well, you had been told if you don't do this, you're not going to get this bonus. And so, you know, any logical person is going to say, okay, I'm going to do this because that was your goal. You were going to meet your goal. So how did you reframe? What was your process for saying, okay, like these are the values that really matter to me, and here's how I'm now going to pursue them?
Well, I was lucky enough to, I had been through therapy. I'd had a troubled childhood. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I had found was, back to your point, what do you believe about yourself? What I knew is I didn't love myself. My self-esteem was low. Mm-hmm. And I also looked at, I didn't value other women. Oh. And that was huge for me. And during this time of, you know, self-discovery, I had a friend that was doing network marketing. And I was completely against it. Arrogant, entitled, all of that. That's not for me. There's no way I'm going to do that. And it kept coming back to that. And I finally went and I did it. I was in it for about 4 years. I did not enjoy it. I did well in it. However, what I did enjoy so much was the camaraderie of other women. It was a female-led company. The products we were selling were for females. And I met some of the most amazing, influential, beautiful, intelligent people I have ever met through that journey. And I also had to get over myself because my ego, I'm from corporate America. I've been an executive. Why would I do this? You know, all of that self-talk that starts happening, I had to get over myself because I knew I had a high income that I had to duplicate. And I wanted to be with my children. I wanted to shift my life and make a change. And whether that was going to be my career path or not, I knew it was a step that I had to take. Because in order to love myself, I had to really see the beauty and the power in other women. And that's what it gave me.
Wow. And then how did you further develop your own self-esteem and your own ability to be present in challenging situations and things like that?
So the thing that I learned was, in my opinion, and what I coach with other women and other leaders and businesses and life, is the fastest way to grow your self-love is to give, right? Is to unconditionally give. Looking at every scenario as how can I add value? The biggest thing for me was being vulnerable. I was raised by a biological father that looked at vulnerability as weakness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you weren't allowed to show emotion. And I had to unlearn that pattern, because what I know is vulnerability is power. And the best place we can be is to always hold our standard, no matter what is coming back at us, and to always give, and to always lead with love. I had a mentor for many years that would say, you never answer a cry for help with a cry for help, right? Like, you just, someone is coming at you with anger or high emotions. Don't answer in that way. Give them love. That's what they're asking for. And recognizing that, you know, no matter where you give it to, if you're giving love, if you're giving value, it's going to come back to you. It may not be from that source, but it will come back to you. And that was the thing that I really learned. And I learned from the women, you know, before I moved on from that endeavor, that women are so very powerful. We are the most powerful creatures on the planet. We create life. Mm-hmm. And influence is all about emotion. We understand our emotions when we're not trying to act like a man to tap them down.
Yeah. So in your day-to-day existence, how do you adjust your mindset as you need to?
Mm-hmm. I look at three factors. So first, I always look at the outcome. No matter if coming on to this podcast, I thought about my outcome, right? I did research about your audience, about you, and looking at how can I add value? What do I want Maria's audience to walk away from when we're done with this podcast? Uh-huh. Then I look at, you know, my self-talk. What is it? I had told you before, I was sick, right? I have a little bit. At first I thought, well, maybe I'm not going to do this. I'm not, you know, I had all the reasons in there why I should do it. And I checked myself and said, no, this really, speaking to a beautiful, empowering, intelligent woman gives me energy. It feeds me probably exactly what I need. So I get that in line. And then I want to look at my physiology. You have to align all three, your focus, your self-talk, and your physiology, to make sure that everything is in alignment. And I did all of that. I have what's called a power move. I worked for after the network marketing company, I worked for a consulting firm, and the CEO genius was, that was a big thing. Everyone in the company, we had to have our power move. And it was something like mine is, you know, just to get everything in alignment. And so I did that prior to.
So break that down again. So the three things that you focus on
is, first, I want to look at what's my outcome.
Outcome?
Focusing on outcome. Then I want to look at my self-talk.
Okay.
Is it empowering? Do I believe in what I'm doing? Right? Uh-huh. Am I my own cheerleader? I have a mantra. Mine is, you got this. Uh-huh. So I start to freak out. Like, let's just say this interview went sideways. I would focus again on my outcome. My outcome is to add value, mm-hmm. to help your audience to silence the mind clock, to really take control of their mindset. It's mm-hmm. the number one thing that we can control to change our life.
Yep.
And then I have a power move that I can do, so I don't look like a crazy person while I'm on camera. I squeeze my fists very tight.
Okay.
And so that gets all three things, and that is how I then can be very centered. I can get back into flow to get out of my own head, stop focusing on me again, because that's typically what happens when we start feeling insecure. Oh my gosh, am I saying the right thing? They're going to think I'm stupid, like all those things. And it helps you to, again, focus on the outcome, your audience, and what you need to do.
Okay. Oh, I like that. So let's apply that to an instantaneous scenario. So you're in a conversation with somebody and the conversation goes sideways. How do you do it in the moment? And I recognize that this is something that takes practice, but I've just, you know, so for our audience, I think you start out by working on these elements and then you get better and better at doing it to the point where you have some level of mastery and then you can do it at any moment. So tell us, like, in a moment, what's your process?
What my process would be, I always prep first. I don't care if it's a phone call, right? But let's just, to your example, I'm going into a meeting. Let's say I'm doing a proposal, right? I'm going into a business, a small to mid-sized business, and I'm proposing a solution for them. So prior to that meeting, I would think, okay, what's my outcome? My outcome is to never close the sale. That's ridiculous. My outcome is to help them to understand that what I have solves their challenge.
Okay.
And to add as much value as I can there. So I make sure I know what is my outcome. Mm-hmm. Then I will look at, okay, I would suggest to everyone, have your own mantra. So that in a moment when your brain starts going crazy, mm-hmm. mine is, you got this, right? Mm-hmm. And then create your own power move. If you ever, you can look at any athlete, and you can, if you watch while they're playing, like Tiger Woods is this, right? You can watch them. They have, whether they know what they're doing or not, that is a power move. It's aligning your physiology with your mindset. So let's say during that meeting, things start to go sideways. Mm-hmm. I would again look at, okay, you got this. Because I'm probably, if things are starting to go sideways, my mind clock is going.
Yeah, nuts. It gets loud.
Oh God, I'm like, oh no, they don't, you know, all of those things.
Right.
No, immediately, you got this.
Right.
And then I will clench my hands, because you want to have one that you can do just acting like a crazy person by yourself. You know, we had people on our team that, you know, they would jump up and down and yell, and which is fabulous. You can't do that during a meeting.
Yeah.
You want to have one you do by yourself, and you want to have one that you can do while you're in crisis mode in front of someone.
Yeah. Yeah. I can show you mine. Mine is, I literally just hold my thumb.
Yeah.
So I hold my thumb, and that for me, it activates my energy field. And then I am a bit separate from whatever's going on, which gives me perspective. Yes. And then I can bring in my wise self to decide how I want to proceed.
Exactly. And that's it. It just clears your mind so that mm-hmm. you can again focus on your outcome and put everything else aside. And people feel it. We know when we're in a meeting and someone is just thinking about themselves and what they're going to get out of it versus someone that is thinking about, how can I create a win-win scenario? How can I add value? How can I help this person? It's a completely different energy, and we all feel it. We may not be able to pinpoint it, but we feel it. And we're naturally drawn to the person that has that external, right, outlook on things and wants to support and wants to help.
Right, absolutely. Because really what you're doing is you're putting your brain into curiosity, so it makes you open. And then it also enables you to see a whole variety of solutions. So you might have gone in there saying, okay, here's the outcome I want, and here's how I'm going to get the outcome. And then it goes sideways, and then you go, okay, how do I do this another way? So you start to understand, like, what does your audience need so that you can bring them to the outcome that you're looking to get to.
And you're so right. It's curiosity. So when mm-hmm. you're in that spot, the best thing you can do is ask questions. Mm-hmm. It does two things. One, it gives you insight into what's happening in that moment. And two, yeah. it gives you a second to clear your head and to breathe, because they're answering the question. You want to listen to what they say, but it also gives you a moment. Well, right. On two sides.
Right. And what's actually happening in your brain is you're going from an emotional center to your executive center when you ask the question, because you start to think instead of being like, oh my God, my stomach's clenching because this isn't going the way I want it to. So it also, like, actually changes your brain chemistry mm-hmm. to enable you to be in a position where you're more open to looking for solutions. Yeah. And I wanted to add on to this that, like, so applying this to just, you have an argument with a friend, a spouse, of whatever, doesn't matter who it is, and you catch yourself in there, and maybe you have thought about, like, okay, I'm going to have this difficult conversation. Here's where I'm hoping it goes. Here's where I'm going to try and make it go. But it blows up in your face. And it's so easy for all of us to just react. And if you can do your power move and take a breath and then ask questions. So, for example, you're in a conversation with somebody, they say something that seems hurtful or that's angry or whatever, you can just say, gosh, what made you say that? You know, it's simple as that. It's just a way to like interrupt that flow that isn't taking you to somewhere productive. And it's also giving yourself the moment to realign so that you can be fully present.
Well, because the thing I agree with all of that. And 99% of the time, it isn't about you.
Exactly.
We all think the world revolves around us. It's got to be about us. And it's not. Normally, it never is. So you're, and it's okay if it's a friend, if it's a spouse or a partner, it's okay to say, you know, I just need a minute. You don't have to continue, because sometimes those are more emotionally charged than when you're in a business setting.
Right? Yes, absolutely. And that's why I wanted to talk about that too, because, you know, some of our audience is certainly in business settings and some of them aren't. And so it's like, this also can apply to just your regular personal life where when your gut clenches, you can think of it as a signal. It's like a signal of like, oh, wait a minute. Let's get ourselves back into alignment and back into where we can actually be receptive to what's coming at us and make decisions about it as opposed to just reacting to whatever we're presented with.
Yeah, reaction is tough. We want to be in proactivity in our lives as much as possible. Because that's when we know reactions, we're typically working out of patterns, right? Harvard did a study, I think it was in 2012, that said we are on automatic pilot 50% of the time. And that's those patterns.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so easy. You can even, if you want to take it to the biochemical level, you can say, like, if it helps you to think on that level, you can say, like, okay, when my gut clenches, my gut is having a physical reaction to what my brain is telling me about this situation, but you also have the ability to change that chemical reaction and instead to say, okay, my gut clenched, and so I'm going to do my power move. I'm going to take a breath. Maybe I need to step away. Maybe I can ask a question. It's just a way to put yourself back into I'm choosing what I'm doing in this situation as opposed to being driven or following a pattern or following a habit or whatever.
Yeah, because the brain like takes the path of least resistance, right? It likes to go right down neural pathways that it has traveled before. That's why they're called patterns, right?
Right.
By doing that, to getting yourself out of reaction mode, you're allowing your brain to take another path, not just go on automatic pilot and answer in a way that is typically overly emotional or is not supporting your outcome at all. You're reacting to something that we just talked about typically has nothing to do with you.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I think that all of it can be, all of what we're talking about can really be applied to any situation. Mm-hmm. And another thing that's important about the brain is that the saying is neurons that fire together wire together. Mm-hmm. So if you practice taking that breath, doing your power move, recentering yourself, the more you practice that, the more that becomes a path of least resistance. Exactly. So you can have the gut clench, but right away your brain's going to go, oh, nope. When we feel that, here's what we do. So the more you practice it, the stronger it'll become and the easier it'll be to recenter yourself. Is that what you found in using your method for being in meetings? That it becomes like second nature, right? You get in there and you're like, oh, here's what's going on. Okay, I know exactly what to do.
Yeah, we did it with, you know, individuals, entire organizations.
Wow. You know,
so really helping people to understand the way that their mind works. And that is a way to truly help yourself to always show up in your best state.
Yeah.
So you can be proactive. And if you think about it as a partner, as a spouse, as a leader in an organization, people are looking to you, and whether you're a mother or a father, they're looking for you as a role model. You want to be able to show up as your best self. not in a reactive pattern, because it doesn't help anything. One, it gives you that pit in your stomach. You're not feeling good. It just might make you feel certain because you've traveled that path so many times, but it never gives you what you want out of it. And the person that you're with, you're not helping them either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of it as it's like you can be the example. So whether it's with your family or with neighbors or with colleagues or whatever, like you can become known for keeping your cool and for being the voice of reason. And that is an incredibly powerful position because people listen to those kinds of people. So when you were talking about empowerment, mm-hmm. that's how I think of it as empowering, is that when you're the calm in the storm, people are always going to look to the calm. It gives you power.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And people look, it's funny because a lot of, as I had said before, people look as vulnerable, a lot of times look at vulnerability as weakness. And the reality of it is, you're a strong person and you proactively are vulnerable, people look at you as even stronger. Mm-hmm. People look at you as more of a role model. It's such a gift to give to someone. And that's where the growth lies. Because if you're reactively vulnerable, there's really no growth in that. You didn't have a choice. But if you proactively are vulnerable, tell someone how you feel, tell them that they hurt you, tell them what you want, that's where all the power and the growth lives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think that it can be so scary to tell people how we feel. And because we're afraid of how people will react. Mm-hmm. And I think that the being able to tell someone how you feel and being prepared for whatever reaction you might get enables you to do that more confidently.
Absolutely. And I work with this when I work with people, and you'll hear it a lot of times where, you know, they don't want to tell someone how they feel because, oh my gosh, what if they leave? Right? That is, fear of abandonment is real.
Yes.
That is a real thing for people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they'll hold themselves back. If you think about that logically, it doesn't make any sense. You're going to be hurt either way. Why not enjoy the journey along the way and give your best self, give all of yourself? You are increasing the odds that this relationship, that this partnership, that this whatever it is, will be fabulous. When you hold yourself back, you're only hurting yourself and that relationship. Mm-hmm. You're not giving your all to it. And everyone needs to, whether it's in business or in a relationship or just be all in. That's where the beauty is. That's where you know. And know that if you create, and I work with this with people, know what you want. Know that outcome. What's your vision? What is the measurable target that you're working towards? Our brain needs that. Our brain is a cybernetic mechanism. It's just like an aircraft. The pilot has to put in the destination before the plane is off, right? Yeah. Our brain works the same way. If you ever tell it where it's going, it will choose from your past experiences, from current resources. And if someone in your circle has a strong vision, that could pull you in that way. And it could be somewhere that you don't want to go. So you really have to look at, this is where I want to go, and be all in. And know that life is going to send you challenges. It's going to send you opportunities to learn and grow, to become someone that can achieve that vision. So it's okay. Something that you see as a setback may not be a setback at all. It could just be another opportunity for growth. That's where the mindset comes in again. Look at every challenge as a celebration of, another opportunity to grow and become more. Because life is about becoming. It's about enjoying the journey, not getting to the destination. So I feel like that mindset, that helps people to accept what's happening in their life and to learn from it and to grow and to keep moving forward regardless.
Yeah. What I like to think of is that challenges are essentially like signs. So it's like a signal or sign saying, here's something else to think about. It can shift your perspective in really profound ways. Mm-hmm. And if your goal is to always be more and more yourself, aligning with your own values and with what you think is important in life, then you're always working towards self-actualization in being able to be like the strongest person you can possibly be. Mm-hmm. And so when you use a challenge as an opportunity to go that way, it's not always easy to do in the moment. Sometimes you have to do it after the fact. You'd be like, oh, I went through that and here's what I learned. But at the time, it's okay to say, this sucks.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we have blown through our time, and I just wanted to ask you, is there any last thing that you would like to share with our audience before we sign off? Any last piece of advice or wisdom or anything else?
I would just say really focus on your mindset. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast. That is the beginning and the end of creating the life that you want to live. So I applaud you in having this podcast, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. All right, to our audience, thanks so much and have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? Book a free strategy session with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a fabulous day.